Welcome to the Heart of Show Business. I am your host, Alexia Melocchi. I believe in great storytelling and that every successful artist has a deep desire to express something from the heart to create a ripple effect in our society. Emotion and entertainment are closely tied together. My guests and I want to give you insider access to how the film, television, and music industry works. We will cover dreams come true, the road less traveled, journey beginnings, and a lot of insight and inspiration in between. I am a successful film and television entrepreneur who came to America as a teenager to pursue my show business dreams. Are you ready for some unfiltered real talk with entertainment visionaries from all over the world? Then let's roll sound and action. Well, hello, everyone. On the Heart of Show Business, I have with me a legend. You know, when somebody talks about the studio heads, it's always like a scary name, the studio head, because it's like the enemy, but it's not. We're talking here with Sid Gannis, who has been in the business for quite a bit of time. We're not going to say how long, but he has been the president of the Academy for 4 years. He was president of Paramount Pictures back in the day when they greenlit Top Gun and Fatal Attraction. He has had his own independent production company. He was chairman at Columbia. He was based at Sony with his production company. He's done movies from every side of the spectrum, from like the Deuce Bigelow, which I love, by the way, Akela and the Bee, inspirational movies, like documentaries like on Olympia Dukakis, you know, Pan Am, the TV series. I want to hear about Margot Robbie because she's Barbie. There's so much to talk about. So, Sid, welcome to my show.
Alexia, first of all, thank you very much. Second of all, not long ago, somebody said how long you've been in the – you just said he's been in the business a long time – somebody said, how long you've been in the business? So I counted. I'm so glad you're not telling anybody how long I've been in the business. Thank you very much. I can't believe it.
What should I say? You were there back in the days where the studio system was actually not broken. and wonderful movies were coming back out there, not just superhero movies, and you were championing the storytellers, and it was just like a different world where producers had manners and had education. I'm sorry, new producers, but it was quite a, not going to go there. So it's just so great to, but tell me something, because I'm curious, like, how did you get started? Because obviously you come from New York, and then do you just get on a plane and come to LA and say, I'm going to be a movie producer or a studio executive? How did that work?
I'll tell you, but before I tell you, can I tell you something else, please?
Yes, please, of course.
You just said I was there back in the day when people were polite and the studios were, you know, different and all that. It's true. What you just said is true, but a lot of it is true today, too. We're seeing publicly, social media wise, we're seeing, I think, the very worst of it. And you're saying back then there were really good movies. Today there are really good movies. You know what I saw the other day? I'm definitely going to answer your question. Yeah. But before I do, the other day, you know, my wife Nancy and I live in the Bay Area. So sure enough, there are Academy screenings in the Bay Area every week. There's an Academy screening. The other day, and yes, we've seen, you know, the big ones have been through lately and they've been great. And then the other day I saw the Binoche, Julia Binoche movie, brand new movie, lovely movie. Now, of course, I can't think of the title of that lovely movie, but a small little beautiful movie that came out of France, of course. I think it had some U.S. producers also. So it works always, you know. Yes, back then there were terrific movies. God knows there were terrific movies. But they were also the craziest, strangest, you know, most exploitive movies back then, just like today. They weren't big superhero movies, of course, back then. Well, I mean, Buster Crabbe as Tarzan, I guess he was a superhero in his day. Anyway, that's not how I got started.
That's not. How did
Started,
you get started?
I'm born and bred in Brooklyn, New York. Really, a long time ago. I am, aging now, and I was, just amazed at what I would see, both in the local movie theater where I would walk to as a kid. We could do that. We walked to, I think the first, one of the first movies I saw was The Third Man, of all things. What was I doing? A little kid, I must have been 10 years old watching The Third Man, but I walked to it and paid my 25 cents, kids, in the day. So I was always fascinated by it. Went to local high school, James Madison High School, with a whole bunch of other people who wound up in show business. Nobody can't tell you why, don't understand why. And then Brooklyn College, and I wasn't doing very well in Brooklyn College. I didn't quite know why I was there. So I quit. And I came home and I said to my mother, "Mom, I quit school. I quit Brooklyn College." And she said, "Okay, Sydney, now what are you going to do?" And because I was just a kind of a little Jewish kid from Brooklyn with a nice family, I wasn't thinking about what I was going to do. But I did answer an ad, a want ad in those days in the newspaper that said, "Office boy wanted in show business publicity office. Must want to be in show business." And I thought, seems like a good thing to try. And I answered that ad. And then, Alexia, this is a little bit of where luck comes into life. I answered the ad that said, "Send a letter," which I did. And back in those days, I sent a letter and I got a response. And the response was, "Thank you, but we fill the job." I took that paper and put it on the kitchen counter in our apartment. And it so happened that that afternoon, or the next afternoon, my uncle Phil, and my aunt Estelle came over to visit, because that's what we did. Family just didn't knock, didn't call, I mean, didn't book in advance. They just came over, and Uncle Phil said, "What are you doing, Sid?" And I said, "Well, I'm trying to get a job, Uncle Phil." And I said, "Here, look at this. I tried to get a job with this firm, this guy." And my Uncle Phil looked at the letter, Alexia, that he the rejection letter, the one that said, "We filled the job," and he said, "I know that guy."
Wow. And
There's
that's
your story.
the story. And
That's
that's the story.
how I got started in show business.
Wow. Wow.
Office boy, $50 a week, office boy. I
Wow.
did it, and got the coffee and went for the stuff and delivered the copy to the New York Times and the Daily Mirror in those days, and was totally taken with it. And really and truly, that's the way I got my start.
And we was one of the biggest PR firms too. So I think that you lucked out because that's Lee Salter's, right? The
Exactly. You know that. Exactly. It was Lee Salter's firm. It was called Salters, O'Rourke, and Sabinson in those days. And yes, I was the office boy for Salters, O'Rourke, and Sabinson.
Wow.
Exactly. I
Sid,
don't even think that term exists today, office boy.
you know, this is a testament to what we're talking about. The good old days. Well, there's still good old days now. There's good new days. But I also started, you know, in the business and I wanted to learn everything about international sales. And they're like, I speak a lot of languages. And I, even though I had done a few markets, I got hired at a small company. And they're like, we're looking for a salesperson to help us with sales. Guess what, Sid? I was vacuuming. I was answering the phones. I was talking to labs to talk about deliverables. I was
Course.
putting telexes together with a lab.
Of course.
I wasn't going, well, I have to rule the world. I'm gonna pay my dues. And I think today's generation, they want everything so fast. And that's something that I think I love what you just said. It's yes, we have to learn everything, but we also have to work hard,
Oh,
right?
God, yes. I mean, yes, Uncle Phil started me off, but of course, I had to love it, be passionate about it, work it, not even think about hours and just do the job. And I think you said a minute ago, you think things are moving so fast, and young men and women who are in the business or wanting to be in the business today have to understand that what you did and what I did is the way to do it, for goodness sakes. It is the way to do it. And yes, there's a lot more to absorb, I think. Well, maybe it's the same old stuff that just has different veneer to it. I think it is, because you know why? We're storytelling and selling our stories and marketing our stories. I think it's the same, except with different elements, different veneer to it. No, be patient, do the work, No matter how long we talk today, Alexa, what's going to happen is I'm going to say the same thing. That's what has to, that's what we have to do, and that's what young people have to do today.
Yeah.
Get a sense of, get the feel of all of it around you.
Yes, absolutely. And as we said, even off before we pushed record, people have to learn the business. It's not just I'm a screenwriter, I'm a producer, I'm a director,
Right.
right? Tell me more about that.
Well, I mean, it was me. I can only speak it the way I did it. And it's what I tell to my friends' kids these days who are very interested in this. I say, don't think of it as I just want to be a production designer. Yes, you do want to just be a production designer, but to be a really good, complete production designer, you also have to know about, what the grips are doing and what the writers are doing and how to produce, because you're producing as a production designer. So don't just go this way, kind of go this way. Spread out, be curious about everything you can absorb in the business. And today, of course, as I say, it's complicated by the media, the social media, and all of the information that's moving around so quickly. And also, if you want to be in the production side of the business, also be curious about international sales, goodness knows. And I've been around long enough to have directors who are interested in international sales and not interested in international sales. But I'm using international sales as an example. I have a great story to tell you about that. And it
Yeah.
goes back to the old days. You want to hear it?
Yes, please.
About Stanley Kubrick, of all things. Way, 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 way back. I worked at Columbia Pictures in New York City. It was one of my first jobs. My first job was with Salters. My first job in the movie business was at 20th Century Fox. And my second job was at Columbia Pictures. And at Columbia Pictures, I was in the publicity department. In. I wasn't the big shot. I was in the publicity department, doing publicity, learning, loving it, meeting people, getting to know people. And we had this movie called Dr. Strangelove. And Kubrick in those days, I think he was living in London already. He's from the Bronx, but I think he was living in London, and certainly he came back to New York after he finished the movie in London, after he finished Strangelove in London, and came back to Columbia in New York City. And I got to know him, and we worked together, as did many others in the department. But here's what I want to tell you about this guy who knows what he's doing, not only about the movie he's making, but about what's happening. And I promise you, this is a true story. One day in the hallway, he said, not to me, but to a guy in charge of handling advertising around the country. Those days, newspaper advertising was, very important. You'd advertise in newspapers. You'd begin to advertise on television, but still, the newspaper ad was a big thing. So Kubrick said to this very nice man, Lenny Beyer, he said, "And what about Cleveland? We're opening in Cleveland." And Lenny said, "Yeah, we're opening in Cleveland, and here's the opening ad, and here's the Monday, Tuesday, here's the Wednesday ad, and then we'll have the big Friday ad." And Kubrick said, I promise you, I couldn't believe my ears. He said, "That Wednesday ad, isn't that too big for Wednesday? Shouldn't we save it and put some of that money into someplace else?" He knew, and he cared, and he was willing to have an opinion about advertising in Cleveland, Ohio.
Wow.
The ad in the Cleveland Plain Dealer or something like that. Isn't that amazing?
That is
A
such,
lesson for me back then, a real lesson for me.
yeah, it's such an amazing story because again, people are forgetting that this is global storytelling more than ever. So you need to know not just about how to have success in the three key cities in the United States. You have to know how to su have success in the small towns in the USA, how to have success overseas, how
Sure enough.
to, right, gonna translate. And I know, and I wanted to ask you because you have had such a varied body of work as a producer. I mean, you go from really funny comedy like a Deuce Bigalow, then you go and produce Akela and the Bee, which is an inspirational story. So, what is it that makes you say yes when you see something as a producer? What is it that you get like the hairs on your arm standing up and saying, I have to get behind this project?
There
Whether
was a word that we used to live use that may not be in the vocabulary anymore. I'm not sure. With all of the information that we have coming from everywhere, there was a term. It's probably ancient. I'm sure many of your viewers and listeners probably would say, "What's he talking about?" So the answer to your question is my gut, GUT. My gut helps me along the way to this day. I promise you I'll listen to the research, and I promise you I'll dig into the statistics and the box office and the previous stuff. But also certainly when I'm reading a script, it's what moves me on the page. And I gotta tell you, Akela and the Bee, Deuce Bigalow also, in its own way. I mean, you couldn't have picked two diverse examples of my work. Deuce Bigalow, in all its silliness and craziness, you said you liked it. It had a good story for women, I thought. And my wife, who reluctantly saw it when it was finished, said, "Oh, that's pretty good." And Akela and the Bee, from when I first heard about it, I just knew I wanted to make that movie. And then the other big part of this on Akela, especially my wife, Nancy. I mean, I said, "Nance, please read this." As I once said to her when I was at Paramount, "Please read Ghost." Plenty of other people were, reading and giving me their opinions and all that. But my wife's opinion, I pay attention to it. I don't always go with it, but I certainly pay attention to it. And when she read Akela and the Bee, she said, "Oh God, yeah, let's do it." And we did. The two of us did it together.
Wow. And you know
So my
what?
gut,
I
GUT.
live by it, Sid. I live by my gut. I always say intelligence is not here. It's
It's fair.
and because it never fails you. How many times have we all, I should have listened to my gut. We've all say that as
Ha
opposed to say, why didn't I listen to my gut? But I love what you said that your wife enjoyed Deuce Bigalow. And one of the reasons why I enjoyed it, beyond the campiness of Rob Schneider and all of it, was the message that every woman is deserving of love.
Really?
And that to me, the fact that this guy would go out with all this different kind of women who needed to be seen and valued, that's why we go and we see films that they have great success, you know, like The Book Club or you know,
Yeah.
The Marigold Hotel. I mean, those are the stories that even though, well, those were a little bit more niche than obviously Deuce Bigalow, but and Aquila and the Bee, I mean, to be making such a diverse movie in not a diverse time, that's gotta have to be groundbreaking for you. I mean, did you have to get a lot of rejection? Because obviously Deuce Bigalow is easier to set up because you got Rob Schneider and all that campiness, but
And Sandler produced it, so you know it had a lot going for it. Aquila, it was a rough go, but Alexia, this is the game. This is where you, if you believe, really, truly believe in it, and you have enough intestinal fortitude to stick with it. It might happen. And in the case of Aquila, it happened, but it happened in a little bit of a strange way. Again, a luck came into it a little bit. You want to hear?
Yes, I
Lion
love
King.
that
You told me before when we were talking, you know, before we started, I said before we started shooting, but I wish I were on a set right now, before we started talking. About you know, just about how you kind of never know in this business, and you said you worked at worked for Lionsgate, and so I'd been around with the script. We'd been around with the script, and yes, it was a very good script from the beginning, and we were rejected, you know, time and time again on the script alone. We had no elements other than the script. On the script alone, we were told no. We said, "Who? You know, it's the same old thing that you would expect us, any financier to say. You want me to finance a picture about a little African American kid from South Los Angeles who enters a spelling bee? What are you kidding?" At Lionsgate, I sent it. I have two friends at Lionsgate, the guys who many years later are still running the company. John Feltheimer and Michael Burns. But Michael Burns had young kids. Felt had older kids. So I sent it to Michael and I said, "Michael, just have a look at this over the weekend." Well, Michael handed hit the script to his assistant and said, "Please, you know, asked her to read it over the weekend." She came back to Michael Burns and said, "You got to do this movie." Who knows?
who would have thunk it? And
Who would have thunk it?
those are the great stories. I mean, you know, my buyers, some of my buyers financed or pre-bought La La Land when Patrick was going around talking about
Yeah.
Damien Chazelle, and they were going to give him all this money to make this movie from making a smaller film. You know, and now he wanted $4 million just on the opening scene on the freeway and this and that. But you know, there are the people like you and the Patricks of the world and the Mark Damons and the Arnold Coppensills,
Of course.
if you know, Mike Medavoy and the Mario Casars and those people who believe in the vision. We've known them all, the Andy Vanias. I had the pleasure of meeting all of them and doing
Good
this.
for you. What a bunch of great names.
My gosh, I mean, I honestly get more starstruck, to be honest, to talking to you than it would be to just talking to whatever the guy who made the hottest horror movie of the moment, because you're giants and you've seen it all. And we are right now in a business that is changing so much. And you know, the elephant in the room, we're in the midst of a strike. And I do you have a viewpoint about this? Because obviously AMPTS and all that work, don't call us producers, don't call it, what's going on? Like, why is this not getting resolved in your opinion? And
Well,
resolved.
first of all, Alexa, I hope when this airs, when this podcast airs, the strike is so over and people are saying, you know, that was terrible, but here we are now. But here we are now. And it's very disheartening. I've been around, like you say, and I love the business and I love the people in the business. This one is a rough one, really, really, really rough. Part of it is because everybody's angry at everybody else. Part of it is because everybody's angry. And their anger is out there. It's not personal anger. It's not people sitting in a room screaming and yelling at each other. It's, you know, social media and the trades and, you know, and the gossip guys reporting the yelling and screaming, and that's no good. And, you know, people say in the old days there was Lou Wasserman, but today there are plenty of men and women smart on the studio side. Every single one of the men and women who are on the studio side are terrific. They know their stuff, and they're statespeople as well. And on the WGA side and on the actor side, it's the same thing. There are good, wise people ready to negotiate. It's baffling almost to see how it doesn't seem to be happening at the moment, this very moment, including this morning when, you know, there was something damning I read. But remember, I was reading it just the way I was complaining about reading it a minute ago. I was reading it on social media. It's got to end. And it can end. Of course it can. And it doesn't matter that there's AI and streaming and residual issues. Those are issues. They're resolvable issues. They are resolvable. People have to sit in a room and talk directly to each other. Not just talk, but negotiate directly with each other. And it can be done. I wonder, as I'm saying this to you, Alexia, I wonder, I can't imagine. No, I know. I was about to say, I wonder if people are not willing to negotiate. No, the people we're talking about are. But in the meantime, people are hurting all over the place. The last writer's strike, 2007 or 8 or something like that, I was smack in the middle of it. I was an independent producer, but I had just come from the studios and I knew the game. And I was president of the Academy. And guess what? In 2008, I had to put on a show. So I needed the writers to be willing to give me a waiver. I had to go to them hat in hand and ask for a waiver. And there's a way to do that, Alexia. There's a way to do it. I got it. So there must be a way to do it. And the writers were allowed to write in a minimal way, I think. I forget what the deal was. But this is horrible and hurtful. And the writers deserve what they want to a point, as do the actors. Of course they do. And the studio guys, I can't imagine Mr. Iger and all of them. But I point to Iger because I said Lou Wasserman's name before, and Iger is the closest thing to Lou Wasserman today, I think. Bob knows. He knows. So I'm only hoping, you know, I don't know, you know, I can't say anything more because I don't know anything more. I don't know what the solution is, but as I said, by the time this podcast airs, this thing better be over. You want to know why? Don't even air it if it's not over. We won't be a business. We won't be an industry anymore.
You are so right, Sid. And unfortunately, as I'm hearing it let's hope that by the time it airs, they're going to say, what the hell were they talking about? Fake news. Because I'm hearing it may drag until January or February because God. All this, like you say, anger. And the thing is that what is upsetting me is, again, I stand by the fact that writers should get more, actors, they deserve to have their residuals. But at the same time, what about all the other people?
Oh, God.
About all the producers going out of business, the craft service, they're so fixed on fighting their own battle, their own single battle, that they're like, well, those are just going to be, it's for everybody. No, it's not for everybody because everybody's hurting. And I was talking to a friend of mine, he's actually coming on my podcast. I'll send you the link, in a few weeks. And he was saying, I get asked for residuals by SAG before I even paid my investors or the banks that I borrowed money from.
Can't be.
And it can happen. And then at the same time, studios, okay, everybody's talking about Bob Iger. It's a bit like every studio head, they live in some like private islands with five, planes and 25 Ferraris. And it's like, again, they're bunching everything together. And I
Right.
honestly don't believe, oops.
My
That's
wife just walked in, but that's great. My partner,
your partner who has
the
good
woman we
business
were
credit.
talking about before.
Exactly. I believe that every studio head is greedy and they don't want people to get paid. I don't believe that. And because you've been one. So you
Yeah.
would, right?
No, we want it to be fair. And it can be, and at the moment it's not. And God, I hope you're wrong, or not you're wrong, but what you've heard is wrong, and it's not going to be January or February. That would be horrifying. Hey, my son-in-law is a prop man, so I know the feeling. My son-in-law is a prop man. Right now he's getting paid, but he's not a happy prop man.
No. And like I said, I mean, we've all got to come together and talk. How many times have we all joked about, studio movies and we don't get our residuals even before this? And we go, oh, it's creative accounting of the studios, the P&A money and all that, I guess. But nobody will get angry like this. The anger and how social media is exploiting all this to incinerate even more the parties is not a healthy way to go.
No.
And praying for you, for me, for the transportation coordinator,
Of course.
to everybody, to get back to work because we just came out of COVID and it's like, couldn't, my friend said, couldn't we wait a year? We have to do this now. We're just coming out of COVID, But I mean, that said, what's coming next for you, Sid? I mean, do you still love producing? Are there still things that you don't have to talk to me about what they're about, obviously, because stuff is confidential. But is there stuff that still fires you up and says, I want to keep going? I want to keep.
Remember, I said to you about 5 minutes ago, I made a mistake and said, I alluded to the fact that I was on a set instead of on this podcast. I'd love to be on a set again. Probably not the same way I used to be, but I'd love to be, yes. And the good news is, the very good news is, that voice you heard before, my wife, who just came in, is. She'll be the next one on the set, and I'll be kind of hanging around with her on the set, yeah, this is not over for me. Just now, I finished a documentary about a Japanese artist called Yoshiki, which is gonna open in September, gonna start in September, and then there's another documentary I'm working on. About trafficking, human trafficking, kids. That's coming along nicely too, and it too is going to be on one of the streaming services. So, yeah. But do I want to do a big ass feature again? Yeah, sure. Be nice. But Nancy might be doing that very thing.
Well, I think we're all addicts deep down. I always say, I'm never gonna stop. I'm never gonna stop.
You
Whenever,
probably won't. You know
no.
why? Because you're a good Greek. That's why. And good Greeks don't stop.
The Greeks and the Jews, they never stop. And you got the both. And I
I
got
got them both.
in me too from great grandfathers in Russia. So yes, we never stop. And I think this is what I want to tell to all the filmmakers because one of the things that impressed me with Sid, and shout out to our friend Rick Berman, who was my student, I'm sure he told you in a class that I taught about pitching.
Yes,
And
it did. Yeah, you loved it.
And he told me you were so generous to him, and you picked up the phone and you told him your thoughts and your script. That is such a rarity. And I am so grateful that you are on this podcast to share your wisdom. I think you need to write a book. That's my two cents, because I could give you
Nah.
episodes and we probably won't have enough. We will have more to say. So maybe we could thought you might want to write a book, you know. And if not, I'll have to bring you back maybe after the strike is over
Okay.
that we can come up with new things and new everything. But no, Sid, thank you so much for coming on my show. I'm just soaking it up. I want to hear more, and I'm sure my listeners will. And you know, to everyone, you know, of course, if you enjoy the episode, please subscribe, rate, review, look up some of Sid's work. He needs his residuals just as I do.
Yeah.
Right? So if you want to go see an
Absolutely, yes.
OMB again, and Olympia, and Deuce Bigelow, and Pan Am, wherever you're going to catch it somewhere, keep watching. Sooner or later, we'll get our 20 cents in the mail, and we'll be grateful that you listened to this episode. So thank you, Sid. Thank you for coming on the show.
You're welcome, Alexia, of course.
And that is the Heart of Show Business, over and out.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of The Heart of Show Business. If you enjoyed it, please share it with a friend. You can also subscribe, rate, and review the show on your favorite podcast player. If you have any questions or comments or feedback for us, you can reach me directly at theheartofshowbusiness.com.